Stuart, we're gonna get feedback. This needs to turn down. Just turn it down a little bit more, a little bit higher, just a sweet touch higher. How's that? Great, perfect. Don't touch a thing. There are many ways to study the scripture record. One could seek understanding through historical values, theological principles, socio-political structures, or literary significance. I like to study the Bible as a manual for leadership and a guidebook for the human-divine relationship. The Gospel, according to John for today, is a masterclass in 11 verses. John starts out on a very good note with this teaching. As we've discussed on previous Sundays, the lessons about maritime conditions seem to have been learned by the people who follow Jesus. Their sea passage seems to have had nothing troubling at all, completely uneventful. No storms, no high seas, no anxiety, except that they wish to get back to Jesus as quickly as they can. Whatever hunger they had on the other side, spiritual hunger, physical hunger, the hunger for community, whatever, it's been filled. What they experienced on the hillside last Sunday has given them energy and ambition to continue the journey with Jesus today. Now, because this is a teachable moment, these good times won't necessarily last. There's still more to learn. John's Jesus literally takes us to the next level of discipleship by bringing us to an entirely new location. The lesson from the hillside last week is now closed. Now it's time to open a new lesson. In all the gospel accounts, Jesus consistently draws his disciples onward to the next thing. Jesus is systematic in his progression of his teachings, and he expects his followers to build upon those previous lessons. The Gospel of John gets right to this with the opening dialogue. The crowd asks Jesus, when did he arrive in this new location? It was so good up until this moment, right? The newest disciples did a great job of crossing the water without succumbing to fear or anxiety, but now they've lost the scent. When is not the right question for Jesus. When did Jesus get there? Well, according to the beginning statement in John's Gospel, he's been there since the beginning of time. When is not important to Jesus right now. When is not nearly as good a question as what? But Jesus will get to that in a moment. Jesus reveals something to them in their response to their last encounter with him that they might not have been able to put into words quite yet. By eating their fill of the loaves and the fishes last week, they came to realize how important they are to God. It was a spiritual filling, even more than it was a physical filling. The fullness teaches them that they are valuable to God, precious and beloved in God's sight. That's why they desire to travel with Jesus. It's that hunger that's trying to be filled. But this is a new experience. And it's so new and so exciting that it's easy to overlook the source of the fulfillment. Jesus sees this and tries to draw their attention to it. Jesus cautions them to be careful with what he calls the food that perishes. They ate their fill of the good bread of life that Jesus offered last week. That felt good. But one could just as easily fill up on junk food and still feel full. But junk food ultimately is not good in the long term. But Jesus doesn't tell them that there's anything bad about that good feeling, but that they should take care to be careful about what they consume to ensure that it is truly beneficial for them. Those euphoric good feelings are not sustainable. The deep love and acceptance of God provides endless sustenance. The crowd's understanding seems to shift in verse 28. They ask, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Aha! What is the question that they ask next? Now they're beginning to ask the right questions. Notice the difference in Jesus' response. This is how we know that they're on to something. Jesus gives them a different response from the last question that they ask with this question now. Here, Jesus speaks directly to their query. What do they ask? You do this, is Jesus' response. Direct, clear, concise. This is an exciting moment for Jesus, and it's exciting for us as well, though for different reasons. Jesus is happy to see the developing in their understanding of what discipleship means. He indicates this by answering directly their question. By asking what, the crowd signals that they're interested in engaging the world as Jesus does. This is good news. For us, we can identify ourselves with the crowd. They interact with Jesus on behalf of us, asking questions that we might ask were we standing before Jesus. Developing in the spiritual maturity of the crowd reflects our developing spiritual maturity. We're getting it. We're growing in both our understanding of and application of our faith. We're becoming more like the image of God along with the crowd in the text. More good news. But then, you know, learning is a curve. It's all about progress, and progress comes with regress. We reach out, we overreach. So we pull back and we try again. We learn, we stumble, we try, we fail, we try again, and then we succeed. This is what happens to the crowd next in this moment. Everything was going smoothly until the crowd tries to bring up precedent. Well, they try to reason with Jesus. Back in the wilderness, there was bread then, and that was a sign from heaven. So, the progress Jesus saw in them just a moment ago gets a little stuck. Jesus has to go back to their point of reference in the wilderness and untangle things before they can resume moving forward in the manna from heaven story. The crowd loses sight of the origin of God's grace and care. It's not Moses. Even though Moses was a really big part of the manna from heaven story, it's not about Moses. It was really all about God providing for God's people. The flashy miracle shouldn't take precedence over the actual point of the event. The point was God demonstrating the endless sustenance available in a deep human-divine relationship. Jesus, the master teacher, skillfully redirects the crowd's understanding back to the nature of the bread from heaven and the bread of life. It's sustenance, not just for that moment, not just for this crowd. It's for the whole world, all the time. It's not about the bread. It's about a rooted, eternal spiritual relationship with the Creator who happily provides in abundance for the children of faith. Listen, hear this. Being in a relationship with God, so close that all our actions and perceptions of God's creation align with the way God sees the world and everyone in it, is the way of discipleship to Jesus. That bears repeating. Being in a relationship with God so close that all our actions and perceptions of God's creation align with the way God sees the world and everyone in it, that is the way of Jesus. The result of this relationship is like a kind of bread unlike any we can think of. This bread is always filling, always available, and always responsive to our needs, and it enables us to share this abundance with others. When we eat this bread, everyone benefits, not just us. This bread is for the life of the world. When the disciples are so filled with this spiritual fullness, they are able to sail across waters without any concern for fear or chaos. They can seek out and find Jesus wherever he is. They can make up their minds that performing the works of God so that others can share in its fullness is worth the sometimes bumpy road of learning from the Master. That's a whole lot of spiritual transformation from one afternoon of fish sandwiches on a hillside last Sunday. And the crowd gets it. Hallelujah! Jesus is a master teacher. We know that Jesus brought them to this next step in the journey of faithfulness to God because now they no longer pose questions to Jesus. No, now they make a statement. Give us this bread always, they say to Jesus. In just a few short verses, they now recognize all the features of this master class, the nature of the bread they consume, the promise of a human-divine relationship, God's response to the desire to follow as disciples, and, perhaps most importantly of all, they know that this grace, this love that Jesus offers in the human-divine relationship is theirs for the taking. Give us this bread always, they say as they reach out to take what God so generously gives. How often in your faith journey have you been confronted with hard lessons? Sometimes growing in our relationship with God and in our discipleship means correcting our assumptions, going deeper than we thought we could, and questioning what we thought were universal precedents. Through all of these experiences we read about in the gospel today, Jesus, the master teacher, demonstrates patience with the crowd's learning curve. He offers gentle guidance to take them to the next level of faithfulness to God. Jesus doesn't get frustrated with the crowd, but instead celebrates their progress with them. Jesus does that for us too. Perhaps the most powerful part of today's master class is recognizing that patience and faithfulness for Jesus' disciples is part of the core nature of God's love for us. The journey of faith and our growth as disciples must include patience and shared joy for one another and for ourselves. We can celebrate each new thing we learn about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We get to take those challenges we bump into as opportunities to grow deeper in our faith. And we get to do this as part of a community of others all trying to do the same thing. Jesus is still journeying with us as our teacher and our guide to take us to the next level of discipleship. As we journey on together, let's all be on the lookout for more master classes as we make our way through the world as disciples of the God of generosity and patience and love. The deep spiritual transformation we experience in the human-divine relationship has always been available to us. It's ours for the taking. And that's good news.